Over 500 people this time. Can you believe it? 500 people saw him this time. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Unless you've been hiding under a rock. I'm talking about Jesus. I was just chatting with my friend, and he was telling me he was part of the group. There was 500 people this time that saw Jesus alive. Well, it's been a couple of weeks now since the day that changed everything. The day that changed my life, the day that actually changed your life for eternity. The day that changed everything. It's been a couple of weeks, and I still am just trying to get my head around it. I'm going to tell you about that day in a minute, but first you need to know a little bit of the backstory. It all started for me about 3 years ago when I became one of Jesus' disciples. I mean, there's nothing impressive about me, I'm just a smelly fisherman. But I knew there was something special about this person, Jesus. And so when he called me and my brother Andrew and 10 other guys, we got to spend 3 years following Jesus, standing beside him and seeing the most amazing things. I mean, you wouldn't believe what things we had seen. One time, Jesus fed 5,000 people with just a few bread rolls and a couple of bits of fish. It was crazy. I mean, there was another time where it was a bit scary. We were out in a boat and a massive storm came up and we were sure we were all going to die. And while we were all panicking and going crazy on the boat, you know what Jesus was doing? He's having a snooze. He's sleeping. So we woke Jesus up and we said, "Don't you care that we're drowning?" And he stood up and he said to the ocean, "Be quiet." And it just went flat calm. We were actually a bit terrified at that point, I can tell you. We didn't know what was going on. Who controls the ocean? But it got even crazier. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we were standing outside the tomb of Lazarus, one of Jesus' friends and one of our friends. He had been dead 4 days. 4 days. He stinketh. And Jesus says to him, "Lazarus, come out." And the next thing you know, he comes on, this zombie with grave clothes on, coming out of the tomb. He'd come alive after 4 days. That wasn't the only person Jesus rose from the dead. There was others. There were so many amazing things that we have got to see. I mean, he's healed people that were blind, people that were lame, people that couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't see from birth, and Jesus just spoke a word and they were healed. Quite an amazing thing. And I got to witness all of it firsthand. Me, Peter. You know, I hope one day maybe someone will write some of these things down in a book so that other people can see it and hear about it. I don't know. Maybe some of these witnesses that have seen this will write it down. I don't know. What could they call it? A Bible. That's a dumb name. I don't call it that. I don't know what they'll call it. Maybe they'll write it down and it'll be kept for others to know about it. But I got to witness it firsthand as one of Jesus' closest friends. It was just amazing. Jesus changed my name to Peter, in fact. You know that Jesus? He said, "You're the rock." And so he changed my name to Peter, the rock. That was one of the real high points for me. But there was plenty of low points as well. The problem is, you see, sometimes my mouth works faster than my brain. I don't know if you know anyone in your family like that. If you don't, it's probably you. But I'm always just go, 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 go. One of the real high points, Jesus, he asked me, "Who do you say I am?" And I said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." Oh, I got that right. That was one of the real high points. But it didn't take long to come to a low point. Because after I said, "You're the Son of God, Jesus, you're the Messiah," he started to tell us he was going to die. So I grabbed Jesus, I took him aside. I mean, he's the Son of God, I'm going to tell him what to do. So I grabbed him and I said, "Listen, Jesus, that's not going to happen. You can't do that." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Well, I was so wrong with that. Jesus was going to the cross. And it was on the night before he was killed that I reached one of my lowest points. You see, Jesus was telling us he was going to the cross, and he said, "You're all going to abandon me, and you can't come with me now." And I said, "Not me, I'm Peter the Rock. I'll go with you anywhere, Jesus. You can count on me." And Jesus said, "Before the next morning, you're going to deny me 3 times, Peter. I'm like, yeah, right. I'm Peter, the Rock. Well, when the crowd came to arrest Jesus with Judas, the betrayer, at first I showed a bit of resistance. I grabbed my sword and I cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. There I was, going for it. But then I started to notice things were heating up and there was going to be trouble. And so me and all Jesus' friends ran away and left him. We left Jesus to be mocked, to be tortured. We left him alone. And so they took Jesus off and they took him before the high priest. And I snuck in the corner. I kind of hide around the corner. I didn't want anyone to know that I was there. And as they were mocking Jesus and as they were accusing Jesus of things he didn't do, I'm hiding. And this girl says, "Hey, you're one of his friends, aren't you?" I said, "No, not me. Don't know the man." Wow. And then the questioning went on and they're mocking Jesus and accusing him and everyone's deserted him. And two more people said, "Hey, you're one of his disciples. You're one of his friends." And both times I said, "No, not me." I called down curses on myself. "No way, that's not me. I don't know the man." And after I denied him three times, the rooster crowed for the start of the day. And I remembered what Jesus had said. Before the next day, you will deny me three times. Talk about a low point. I was crushed. I wept and I wept and I wept. Well, Jesus was tortured physically, emotionally, and spiritually when he became the sin for the entire world. Whipped, beaten, and crucified. And after he was killed and they laid his body in the tomb, us disciples, we were confused, we were scared, we were grief-stricken, we didn't know what to do. I mean, we got, in a sense, Jesus said he had to die. There had to be a sacrifice. If there's a perfect holy God, he can't just accept broken people into his family. There's perfection in heaven. How can we be part of God's family? There had to be this sacrifice. So we got that. But the problem is, if death is the end, it's pointless, right? I mean, if we're just a bunch of animals walking around until we die, that's pointless. You might as well eat, drink, and be merry. You're all wasting your time this morning. But death was not the end. And that's when the day that changed everything happened. It was the first day of the week, and Mary comes running to me and John, and she says, they've taken him. His body's not in the tomb. Well, I didn't know what was going on. How could they have taken him? There was a massive stone rolled in front of the tomb that no one could move. They put a royal seal on the tomb, which meant anyone that broke into that tomb would be charged with death. They put two Roman soldiers outside the tomb as well. They would be killed if they let anyone in there. No one was getting inside that tomb. How could Jesus be gone? So John and I, we start running to the tomb. John's a bit younger than me. He got there first. But then he didn't really want to go in. But not me. I'm Peter the Rock. I got there and in I go. And there in the tomb was the grave clothes. Just sitting there with no body of Jesus. Now what was going on? So we headed off, but Mary stayed back. She'd come later, and we headed off. But the next thing I know, Mary's running up to us, speechless, with this look on her face as though she's seen a ghost, and she's trying to get words out. She can't talk, and she says, "I see him." I'm like, "What do you mean?" An angel had appeared to her first and said, "Jesus is alive," and then she had met Jesus alive himself in the body. We were amazed. Had this really happened? And at the same time, we were scared because the Jews had killed Jesus. They were looking for Jesus' disciples. So us disciples, we were locked in a room together, just trying to look after each other. And the next thing you know, in the middle of this room, Jesus appears alive. You don't seem very amazed. Someone say, "Wow."
Wow.
Wow. Jesus, alive. There he is with us. Some of us took a while to understand what was going on, but no, we understood. Now we know. Death is not the end. Jesus is alive because he's alive, we can be alive too. But the scary thing was, as Jesus is standing there, I know what he knows. He knows right when he needed me, what did I do? I did a runner. I know that Jesus knows right when he needed me, I'd abandon him. But Jesus didn't come to judge, he came to forgive and to save. And Jesus accepted me and forgave me for that and everything else I have done, everything else I will do. When Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for everything you and I have done, past, present and future, all paid for in that one sacrifice on the cross. And so there's Jesus. We know now this is true. You know, he didn't just appear to us. He appeared to a whole lot of other people. And at one time, there was 500 people at once saw him. How people can deny it, I don't understand. There is real hope in this life because Jesus is alive. There is hope to go to heaven because Jesus is alive. Finally, those words make sense that Jesus spoke. I never got it, but now I get it. For God so loved the world, so loved you, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in Jesus will not die but have everlasting life. Amen. I wonder what that means to you.